to What's the Mood, where we talk all things mood and mindset, sleep, nutrition, chemical health, and leadership. I'm your host, Julie Berry, from the Illinois Human Performance Project, and we are so glad you're here.
Callie Werner is a 2020 U.S. Olympic trial marathon runner, LCSW, and a PhD student. Her current work and research focuses on OCD and perfectionism in athletes. Her hope is to help provide freedom, resilience, and positive coping strategies to help individuals and athletes experience life to their fullest potential. All right, Callie, welcome to What's the Mood? It's great to have you.
Thanks. Great to be here.
So I'll just jump right in. I know a lot of your work focuses on OCD and perfectionism in athletes. So just kind of curious what led you to those focuses.
So I was dead set on being a news reporter. Actually, when I was in college, I ran competitively cross country and track and thought, maybe even sports reporting is where I would thrive. And so I did some internship for Channel 11, Great Day Houston, got to do a segment. It was awesome. And I loved it, but I did feel like something was missing. And kind of around that time, I was having some success in my sport. And my own anxiety started to go through the roof. I did not yet have a diagnosis of OCD, but received that diagnosis when I was 21, and was able to kind of look back on all aspects of my life and just see how that was so intertwined, and thought, wow, if I would have gotten this support a little bit earlier, life would be very different, and a little bit more relieving. And so that, just with how impactful the therapy was for me, I thought maybe that's my calling. And so, did some volunteer work at a local residential facility for OCD. And then obviously, started doing some research on athletics and sport and mental health, and all that kind of flowed together into a lot of passion for working with athletes that struggle with performance anxiety and OCD.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Thanks for sharing. Do you feel like perfectionism is kind of goes hand in hand with OCD, or are they separate things?
They are separate, but can go hand in hand. So, you know, we do know some research says that individuals with OCD have creative brains. And with perfectionism, I think we see a little bit more rigidity. And so the treatment looks a little bit different. For someone with OCD, one of my favorite examples is, let's say we have a refrigerator full of Gatorade bottles, and every label is facing the same way. Someone with perfectionism is like, well, it should be that way. Everybody should put their Gatorade bottles that way. I function better that way. Someone with OCD has a fear of something bad happening if it's not that way. So if I have this Gatorade bottle turned the wrong way, I'm going to lose the game tonight, or I'm not going to run well in the race. Whereas someone with perfectionism kind of just, nope, it should be this way. Everyone should do it. And so with the treatment, it's still the same therapy, but we are needing to educate the individual with perfectionism a little bit more on why that's not helpful for them long-term, because it usually leads someone to burnout.
Yeah, that's a very helpful analogy. Like, it took me a second to think it through, and then I'm like, oh, I get the difference. That's pretty powerful.
Thank you. Yeah, a lot of people don't know too much about that difference, so I'm glad you asked that question.
What's something that you have recently been learning in your field as you work with, you know, a wide range of individuals and athletes?
So a long time ago, when I started out the mental health journey of wanting to be a therapist, I mentioned to someone, I really believe that there's something to this OCD in sport. And that individual said, I don't know, maybe, but probably not. And I didn't want to let go of it. And so I dove into the research a bit more. And I mean, just being an athlete with my college teammates and seeing the different quirks of people, what I thought were quirks at the time, that, you know, happened to be symptoms and tendencies of OCD or perfectionism, really kind of opened my eyes a bit more. And so there's more and more research now coming out about the mental health of competitive athletes. And one of my favorite studies is from Cromer et al. I think it was from 2020. And the research shows that the general prevalence of OCD is about 2.3%. So that's one in 50 people. And it was over double that in this study of collegiate athletes. So pretty interesting. And there's definitely a lot more work to be done in this area. But I mean, I think my coach from college explained it beautifully. He mentioned, well, you know, to be a distance runner that's running 8 to 10 miles every day, you've got to have a little bit of something different in your brain, mm-hmm. but it's really based off this balance. So if you have way too rigid of behaviors or way too perfectionistic of behaviors, it's going to lead you down a rabbit hole or towards burnout. But we really want to be in that middle zone of, okay, I know that my coach told me to run 8 to 10 miles, for example, and one day I'm going to run 10 miles, but I want to make sure I'm also okay with the days that I choose to run 8 miles instead of every time hitting that 10 mile mark. So just kind of going and check with yourself and making sure you can handle the balance is a good strategy.
Yeah. So am I kind of hearing you say in part to for some athletes, especially with that statistic, you know, there's almost like a benefit to having a uniqueness like that, if you'd call it a quality or a part of you, but you have to, your relationship with it has to be managed in a healthy way.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and I would say most people, if you look at the Yale-Brown obsessive compulsive disorder symptom checklist, it's available online for free to anybody. Mm-hmm. Most people would probably go through that checklist and say, oh my gosh, I struggle with that, or I struggle with that. But that doesn't necessarily mean you have a diagnosis of OCD or mm-hmm. OCPD, obsessive compulsive personality disorder. That's more severe perfectionism.
Right.
It just means, oh, well, I have some tendencies of that. And if it stays as tendencies, it's not harmful, right? So for somebody, I love using this example with athletes because a lot of athletes have superstitions that they engage in their sport. And so mm-hmm. an athlete might feel like, oh, I always want to high five the same teammate before I go out onto the court. And no harm done if they aren't having that predisposition for, or the genetic component for OCD, right? But let's say they do, maybe it just starts out as a high five to that teammate. And then maybe they have a really good game and they start to think, well, I used this conditioner on my hair, so I better make sure I use that conditioner again. Oh, and I ate this snack right before. And it just gets to this point where they can't keep up and it starts to become debilitating and really impacts the mental health.
Yeah, that's a good analogy. I was just thinking my daughter plays softball and she always writes, you know, something on her wrist that's meaningful to her. And she's very, very diligent about making sure that's there. So that's a good explanation.
Thanks.
So how would you, Callie, describe what stands in the way of athletes finding like freedom in themselves or tapping into what many would call like their full potential?
Yeah, I am so passionate about this topic. I'm actually working on an Instagram post talking about exactly this right now. But I think it's the idea that athletes are supposed to be mentally tough and then how we define that mental toughness. So we often think of athletes, especially competitive athletes that are having a lot of success as celebrities, right? And so it's difficult for us to, or for them to be able to open up about their mental health because there might be this fear in the back of their heads. Well, everybody thinks I've got it all together. I can't show that I'm struggling. Or mental toughness means we should just suck it up and power through. When in reality, true mental toughness, someone that wants to have success in their sport long-term, someone that wants to build resilience, means getting the appropriate treatment, getting the appropriate coping skills to make it through sport without white knuckling, right? Because I've seen it too many times and personally experienced it myself where I was just white knuckling. And that just leads you to resenting your sport, to hating it because you're trying to power through and you're not doing it in a healthy way. And so you're getting so drained when in reality, if you have the appropriate coping skills, you can start to love that sport again.
Yeah. You know, we have a lot of coaches and adult influencers who listen into the podcast and are a part of the Human Performance Project. And I'm sure in your experience, you've had several coaches and then, you know, you see a lot of athletes. What like advice would you give a coach about their impact or posture towards athletes, knowing all this data you have on performance, performance anxiety and such?
Yeah. Well, one, I think coaches should have some background in knowledge, even if it's just kind of skimming the DSM, the Diagnostic Statistic Manual, for the more common mental illnesses that show up in athletes, right? Like substance abuse, anxiety related disorders, depression, so that they can recognize it in their athlete, but also make it a comfortable space for athletes to be able to talk about their mental health struggles. Some of the top fears the research shows that athletes have is, well, if I share something, my teammates are going to think of me differently, or my coach is going to pull my scholarship. So make that space different, kind of reducing that stigma by speaking up about it. And I think we also have a lot of fear of, well, if I engage in self-disclosure, people are going to think that I'm weird, or it's the wrong place for me to talk about it. And I even learned some of that when I was going through my master's, that self-disclosure is a bad thing. But then, you know, a little bit at a time, I would share something here and there, and that would be a breakthrough moment for one of my patients to see that they aren't alone in that struggle. And so whether it's a coach or teammate, somebody that can relate to that individual that's struggling a little bit, it opens a gateway of them feeling like I'm not alone, and help that individual get to a place where they can seek some help.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes the people we look up to or have influence in our lives, sometimes we can see them as like not human. And when they show a side of their humanness, it invites us to.
Yeah.
And, be human too.
And that leads me to, so in my PhD program, one of the topics that I'm studying is post-Olympic blues. And something that I really hope happens in the future, and we're already kind of seeing it happening with amazing documentary, The Weight of Gold. Michael Phelps helped kind of create this image of showing how much Olympic athletes were struggling with mental illness. And when those athletes are speaking out about their mental health or speaking out about how hard it was for them to receive the appropriate evidence-based care, it opens doors for everyone else that follows them, right? Because these are the athletes that we look up to as superheroes. And so if we see the Michael Phelps of swimmers receiving appropriate care, that's going to help the young athletes that look up to him also do the same.
Yeah, that's great. All right, last question for you. What are some things that you do presently to keep yourself healthy in your mind and your body and just overall feeling your best?
So I live what we call an active exposure-based lifestyle. So just to give a little bit of insight onto the treatment for OCD, the evidence-based care is cognitive behavioral therapy, but a more specific form of it called exposure with response prevention. And OCD is a chronic illness. And so it means that you can't cure it, but it's manageable, and you can achieve everything you want to in life with it. And so that's if you've done the appropriate treatment. And one of the things that I can still see happening, especially around a big race, because I'm still competing competitively right now, is some of those tendencies try to creep up again, right? So with my own OCD, one big thing that I hated was I felt like 6 was a really unlucky number and 4 was a really lucky number. So I repeated a lot of things around races in 4s in order to have success. And so what I find myself doing now when I get nervous is going back, my brain wants to go back to one of those places of, well, Callie, you should do that drill 4 times. And so every once in a while, I'll throw in a 6 out there. Or every once in a while, you know, if my coach tells me, hey, Callie, make sure that you're running 7 miles today, I'll run 6.9. And let me tell you, that is tough and not easy, but it helps me stay in that kind of balanced zone that we were talking about of, you know, asking yourself, am I in the driver's seat right now? Or is my anxiety in the driver's seat? Mm-hmm. Anxiety's in the driver's seat. We're doing what anxiety wants every single time. If you're in the driver's seat, you're able to change up that cycle.
That's a great question to ask yourself. Who's in the driver's seat right now?
Yeah. And I like having someone say, if I wouldn't do this behavior, would I be okay? And if the answer is no, well, that might be something that would be helpful to test a little bit, because that shows that anxiety is in the driver's seat in that moment.
Cool. Well, Callie, this has been a powerful little punch of a conversation. We at the Human Performance Project are really excited that you'll be back for a clinic here in May. So thanks for sharing, and it's been great.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it.